Hi there, and welcome to Open Mic here on Morehead State Public Radio. I'm your host, Leanne Akers, and today we're visiting with Rowan County Judge Executive Harry Clark. Harry, thanks so much for being on the show.
Well, good morning, Leanne, and thank you for having me.
We want to talk a little bit about the fiscal court meeting that happened earlier this week. You guys met in regular session. A lot of things on the agenda, so we'll get straight into the finance director's report. Looks like they recovered a little bit of money for you guys.
They have. Mike Mackin has done an excellent job. He's been going through auditing all the records, and he is down to about three boxes, I believe he told us yesterday. And he will be complete with the audit. He has recovered just a little over $27,000 just by going through the paperwork. And so we're real pleased with Mike's performance. We're real pleased with the way things are going and look forward to more from Mr. Mackin.
Mm-hmm. Now, where was it that he found this money, and about how much did he find so far?
Well, you know, he's recovered. What he considers recovered is actual money that would have probably been lost out. It's in returns that wasn't properly completed, or some little abnormality there that prevented the refund. So he sent the letters out, and we've recovered those in refunds. So he's recovered, like I said, $27,000. And, you know, that full amount of occupational tax amounts to about $7 million. So it's a huge part of our budget. It's just about all of our budget, to be honest, other than some other taxes.
So you guys also heard from the Emergency Management Director, Jimmy Hampton, and he talked a little bit about the water crisis that we had here recently in Rowan County. There was a few days, nothing like what they have over in Martin County, but there was a few days where we had to boil some water here in Rowan County, and some counties in the surrounding area had to also because of some floodwaters. But what was the report on that?
Jimmy gave us a report yesterday on a couple of different incidents that had happened over the past month. One of them was the boil water advisory. We had, of course, you know, it's been pretty publicly known that they had some water and that wasn't suitable for drinking, so they had to put the advisory out. And around water, they did their normal notification, which is via the radio, and we thought it affected enough people that I actually did think it was warranted a countywide notification. So I reached out to Jimmy, and he put that out and did a great job. And of course, Round Water supplies other counties with water, so he reached out to those other counties as well, and to make sure that everybody was aware of the water situation. And then there was a flooding at MSU, I believe, in one of the dorms, and it had affected some electrical stuff, and I think some folks had to move out for a short period of time. But Jimmy handled all of that, and he was actually commended from the state on his handling of the water advisory, also with the MSU's incident. So Jimmy's just one of these guys, you don't have to wind him up. You don't have to do anything with him. You just point Jimmy in the direction you want him to go and just step back, because he's really, really detailed. He's very professional, and he's just doing a really great job for all the residents around county. But he's also doing a great job for the region, and really teaching. I think he's teaching the folks in the state some things that you know, he's just that type of guy, and he's really, really efficient at what he does. And so I ask him to work in the future with Round Water and the Utility Plant Board if necessary, to come up with a way that the communication flows a little better when we have some issue with the water or any other thing in the county, for that matter.
Right. I know that some people were inconvenienced by the whole thing, but it could be a whole lot worse.
Absolutely. You know, we are very fortunate, and when we do without water to drink for, you know, a few days, we don't like it, but most of us drink bottled water anyway. But, you know, we're certainly more fortunate than some of the other places that I've been where, you know, you have to go outside to the bathroom and those type things. So it's an inconvenience, but we still love where we live.
That's true. Now, you guys also heard from EMS Director Danny Blevins to talk a little bit. You guys got your ambulance back.
We did, and we got it back. It was out of commission for a couple months, and Eagle Chevrolet did the repairs on it. They put a new engine in it and some other new parts on it. We got it back. It's back in the fleet. It's doing very well for us at this time. Just for everybody to know, we will hit the 5,000 run mark and exceed that a little bit for the year for county ambulance runs throughout the county. Over 5,000 runs, and about 70% of those are inside city limits. But, you know, it's always good to have. We have three frontline ambulances with three backups, and the ones in the backup are usually high miles, and this was one of them, so it'll extend its life considerably. So we're very fortunate to get all that done. And so Danny gave us a good report.
Now, you guys also discussed and opened RFQs for the ambulance service building. Tell me what RFQ means.
RFQ is a request for qualifications. So what we ask is simply you give us your qualifications that you feel would be pertinent to whatever we're trying to accomplish. In this case, we're trying to build an ambulance service. So the architectural folks will send us their qualifications, you know, what their past history is and all these things. It's kind of like they'll send us their resume, if you will. Mm-hmm. So we'll look through those. Those went to Gateway Ed. There were seven applicants. And I've assigned a committee, and that committee will review those applications, and they will narrow it, and I don't hand-tie the committee. They can narrow it to two or three, whatever they think is the best fit. And when they get it narrowed down to the top two or three, we will bring those into fiscal court, and they will present to the fiscal court and see the fiscal court at that point will determine who is the best suited for us, and we'll select a architectural firm based on that.
Now, but at this time, we still don't know where that new ambulance service building is going to go.
We don't, Leanne. We've decided that we need an architectural firm to be able to draw us a footprint of the building and the parking and all the other stuff. So we'd actually know exactly what we need in property size. Now, before we looked at some property, it was pretty good size, and I really wasn't concerned about whether it would fit or not. But now we want to just make sure we're getting down close. We'd like to see a little picture of what it would actually look like. You know, we've got it in our mind what we think we want it to look like, and they'll be able to draw it out for us.
Which will make things a little bit easier when you can actually see stuff.
Yes.
Now, Jason Sloan came over and visited with you guys, and of course, he's not with you anymore. Oh, he's over with the Chamber of Commerce. But there was a couple things that you guys had to go over for the Chamber of Commerce business.
There was, and of course, you know, Jason was with me for a pretty good while, and we're always glad to see Jason come in. He's such a professional individual. But anyway, he presented us yesterday with a lease. Him and I had talked about it. We had, you know, for folks that doesn't really realize that, the chamber building is actually owned by the county, and we maintain the big chunks of it, if you will. But the building, the property, the parking, all that belongs to the county. And then the chambers had use of it for a number of years, and they sublease out and do those kind of things. So it was more housekeeping. We don't want anything in return for it. In fact, the lease was signed at $0. But we just wanted to make sure liability issues-wise, who owns it, who don't own it, who's got to maintain insurance on it, those kind of things. And it's just housekeeping that we have to do. So Jason brought that lease over to us, and we approved it. And so we're good for another year. It's an annual lease, and we'll go from there.
We're going to take a quick break here on Open Mic. We'll be right back after this.
Morehead State Public Radio keeps you connected. WMKY is live online at wmky.org. Local, state, national news and archive programs, including Health Matters, Open Mic, Mountain Edition, and The Reader's Notebook. Tell your smart speaker to play Morehead State Public Radio. Download our phone app and follow us on Facebook. Morehead State Public Radio keeps you connected to your community. WMKY's live web stream is online at wmky.org.
And we're back here on Open Mic here at Morehead State Public Radio. I'm your host, Leanne Akers, and today we're visiting with Rowan County Judge Executive Harry Clark. Harry, thanks again for being here. We're going to talk a little bit about the fiscal court meeting that you guys had this week and several things on the agenda, but one of the things that's been in the works for quite some time is finally complete. The Joint City-County Tourism Commission can now begin. It's finally done.
Yes, it is. And it's been a long road. We've been had our ups and our downs. And, you know, and everybody has always been very supportive of it. It's really been a paperwork issue, I think. We had it all approved. We sent it to DLG. And we had one T, I do believe, may not have been crossed, or an I may not have been dotted. So they sent it back. So we did those and sent it back. So we're on our way now. I think about February it'll roll out, and we'll start to see the dividends from this tax. And again, I can't stress this enough. This is not a tax on the people of Brown County. The tourism tax is from the folks that come in and enjoy what we have worked so hard for and provide to them. From most of the time, it's out of state, or at least from out of the county. It's just an addition to the room fees, and it's not any tax at all on the county residents. And it'll generate about $45,000. Again, it's not inside the city limits. It's not double taxed. It's only the things outside the city limits that will be taxed, and that will allow us to promote things outside the city limits a little heavier, which will bring more tourists in, more money into us, and it will help our restaurants, hotels, and our bank account.
I mean, it's always good to have more revenue coming in. Anybody who pays bills can tell you that. But this particular revenue will go towards that advertising. Is there something specific within the county that you think this is what's going to benefit probably the fastest, or something that you're going to see change that's going to be bigger than it was last year specifically because of this change?
I think this change will allow us to focus on recreational tourism. In the past, we wasn't, we couldn't really do that. We just didn't have the funding for it. So I think now this will allow us to be able to concentrate on recreational tourism, which is, those are things like the lake. Those are things like if we wanted to create a park somewhere that would draw in tourism. Those things I think will benefit, and I think that's the big plus to this. And then I think just the common stuff that we're going to see, App Harvest, they're going to have a visitor center. So those are the things that we'll be able to promote that's not in the city, but will certainly bring business to the city. So we're really excited about it. I mean, this is something that should have been done a long time ago, and it'll just benefit everybody.
I'll be interested to see the numbers and compare of the events that happen out in the county, visitors to the marina at the lake, or, the number of boats that are on the lake this summer, or even events up at Dirt Nasty, if those get bigger because we're able to use the tourism dollars to advertise in different parts of the areas.
Yeah, and tourism's always done a great job that, they have promoted the lake. That is the draw around county. I mean, I know we'd like to think there's other things. They'd like to come see Leanne and Harry, but really they come for other things. They've done a super job promoting that. It'll just give them a little bit more gas in the tank to be able to do that. So we're just really excited about it.
One of the things that you discussed is a possible new position with the county, and that was kind of an idea that we're batting around for a maintenance person. I mean, I know that with so many buildings that are part of the county, the Justice Center, the county courthouse, there's also the jail, of course, the art center. There's got to be a lot of work to be done. So you think there could be enough for a full-time position for somebody?
Well, we did some numbers that Michelle Jesse, our county treasurer, and of course I've been in the seat now for a year, so I've had the opportunity to sign all these checks and kind of track this and watch this firsthand for a while. So we did some numbers, and about $175,000 currently is going out in maintenance fees, and a lot of that is contractual maintenance fees, preventive maintenance, if you will, to change air filters, do those things. I don't want to take away from the current maintenance guy that I have, Tracy Hamilton. He does an excellent job maintaining the grounds. He does the light bulb changes. He does all of the maintenance that he he has time to do. What we're looking for now is an individual that is qualified and licensed to do some of the things that we're bringing in here from, and most of the time, to be honest, it's coming from outside the county. It usually comes from Lexington is the big companies. So we would like to bring a person that's a resident around county, bring them on board that has those qualifications, those licenses. He can change these air filters, do a lot of repairs on these AC systems, and we think we can save about half of the money we've been spending on this. So we're going to actively look, and I'm going to take it back to the court, but this will be a huge benefit to the jail, just the response time, because when we call them now, if it's on Friday, you got to wait till Monday. Then you got to pay the travel time for them. It's just a huge amount of money. So we're looking at maybe just going in-house with some of this stuff. It only seems to be the right thing to do.
Mm-hmm. Every little bit helps when it comes to adding up fees and costs for this sort of thing.
It does, and I think that'll add up pretty quick.
Now, one of the things that's on the new business section of the agenda that kind of piqued my interest is the establishment of an ethics commission for members of the fiscal court and ethics standards for all of Round County employees. Now, normally when I see ethics, I go, oh, somebody messed up. But this is, you let me know before we got started here that this is something that was put in place quite some time ago.
It is. You know, this was established in, we dusted it off in 1975. And Keith Capus was the chair of that board when it was established in 1975. And it's a regulatory requirement. But, you know, just anybody knows that elected officials and government employees should be held to a very high standard. And we always should be accountable to someone, not just the voters at voting time. We should be held accountable. So when we dusted this off and we made some changes and brought it up to date, and now if you have a complaint against the judge executive, you have a place that you can go make that complaint. Now, it's not because I didn't fix your pothole or some of those things. That's not what it's for. If you think I've violated some ethics code, you'll have an opportunity to go voice those concerns to the Ethics Commission, and along with the magistrates and the other county employees are held to that. It has social media policies in it. It's just a really good – it's a good document. And we're looking forward to it, I guess.
I would imagine that things that were brought up in 1975 those things are still applicable, but there's things that now, especially with social media, that they couldn't even conceive at that point, because who would think that we would all have computers in our pockets at 24/7?
Yeah, 1975, we certainly didn't have to worry about tracking your cell phone, your texts, and any of that social media events. But those are some of the things that... So we dusted it off, and each magistrate, they select their person that they want on that commission, and then we hold to their standards. They'll investigate anything that comes up, and to be honest with you, in the past, I'm not saying anybody was dirty, because I don't think they was there, probably never activated, but it's there, and it should reassure the public that there is somebody there that they can go to.
Mm-hmm. And if somebody has a complaint, that's the place that they'll go.
Yes.
So I guess we'll have to have an update with that next month or whenever we get that rolling, so we know exactly who those people are.
That's right.
Absolutely. Now, you guys had a Kentucky Division of Highways. You guys have a new agreement with them. There's a possible future entry for a county road over on 801?
801, the entry, it's going to be a commercial entry into App Harvest.
Ah.
And so the state has approved that, and they'll build the road, the entryway, the road in. Then after a year, their warranty expires, and the county will take that road over. Well, there's certainly requirements for the state to be able to have, you have to have certain visibility, range, and all that stuff for an entry onto a state highway. So once they put this in, the farmland that's currently there, if it's ever developed, excluding App Harvest, if it's developed in the future, it wouldn't be able to access 801 because of those restrictions. So they wanted us to agree to allow that access onto App Harvest's road that they are currently going to build. So it'll just be coming onto that road and then exit onto 801 from there.
Right now, and I haven't been out there in a little bit that direction, just because I haven't had need to, but it's just a kind of a farm road that's...
It is, and that's what it's called. You did it. You got it there, Leanne. It's called a farm access road right now. That's what they're entering and exiting on. And now everything's been approved. We've got everything through the state. The funding's there to build the build the road. That was the last little piece of paper they needed, was for the county to agree to allow access to their county road for any future development in that area. So we gave it to them yesterday, and so we're looking, that's probably on its way to Frankfort today, and so they should be able to get started on the actual road in the very near future.
I wanted to talk a little bit about the acceptance of the former county clerk's audit. They came in and did an audit for Kim Davis's final year in office, and there were some issues that were found in that audit.
There was a couple of issues, and they classify them, and for lack of better terms, I'm going to call them, they were major findings. There was a couple of counts that you're supposed to turn over as an elected official from the clerk standpoint, that once you vacate the office, you have to turn those accounts over. And she failed to turn those accounts over. I think the total amount of money was two different accounts, maybe $10,000 total, or that's close guess. that she hadn't turned over. No, you know, no, nothing stolen, no, nothing like that. It was probably she had a misunderstanding of when those funds were supposed to be turned over. But anyway, the audit picked up on it, and that should make the public have a pretty good feeling. You know, we're audited, the county's audited, everyone gets an audit, and they're pretty doggone thorough. So if you know, they'll find that money if you think you're doing something sneaky, they'll come up with it, and mm-hmm. that should give everybody a good feeling.
And getting that audit finished up allowed you guys to approve the county clerk's budget for this coming year?
The coming year, the county government operates on a fiscal year, and the sheriff's department, the two fee offices, the sheriff's department and the county clerk's office, they operate on a calendar year. So they have to present their budget. Last month, if you remember, the sheriff presented his. This month, the county clerk presented his. And what we really do with those two is we actually set the salary cap for the employees. That's really the biggest thing that we do. And in this case, Elwood had requested $335,000 cap, and we agreed to that and provided it. And Matt Sparks's total last month was $668,000 in salaries. Mm-hmm. That's divided between every one of them in the office, and including, I believe, Matt's salary. So we set those. That's the biggest thing we do.
Right. Now, you had actually, with your part of the meeting, you had some communications from you specifically. You are proposing some possible changes to subdivision regulations.
Well, again, Leanne, I don't, you know, the subdivision regulations was about 2010 was the last time it was looked at. And, you know, so that's just been 10 years ago. And everything that you do should be looked at constantly. It should be a living document, and it hasn't been. And I've been kind of preoccupied with other things, but it's time now to start dusting off some of these other things that we need to be working with. And so the subdivision regulations are one of those. We need to go sit down with that, and there's probably stuff in there that we don't need that's probably hampering business. And there's things in there that we probably need to include that will protect the citizens, the taxpayers of Round County. So we're just going to sit down and go through that and clean it up. And, you know, it takes a specialty to do that. You know, there's a lot of you talk about grades and slopes and drainage and all that stuff, and that's not something the common person would know. And I can get water to run on my farm, but I'm pretty sure they wouldn't want me to design a subdivision for you. So we'll have some expertise come in and help us out with that.
Right. Yeah, I, as someone who had a family member who bought us in a subdivision in the county several years ago and then come to find out the road wasn't big enough for the county to take over, you know, that was a long-term problem for the people who lived in that subdivision. And it's a little thing like that that can really change a lot about how you live. And a lot of people don't even realize that those things are necessary.
And that's exactly it, Leanne. Those are the things that's kind of slipped through the cracks that we've got to go back and make sure that we're not being too restrictive. But yet, again, we have to be able to protect the taxpayers. So that's what we're going to do. And subdivisions, I'm glad you brought that up, is a perfect example of that.
Mm-hmm. And, well, we're building a new house now, and I think it's big enough, the wide road, because you guys have already taken that road in.
So. Yeah, I think so.
My parents are building one. They're pretty happy with where they're at. The last thing, we've just got another quick minute. You guys also talked very quickly about the Porter Road Bridge. That's been a problem with weight limit out there.
It is. It was inspected by the state. All of our bridges are inspected by the state. They initially dropped it to a 3-ton limit. We went out and did some repairs to it. We got it to a 9-ton limit. 9-ton limit is still not enough to deliver gas. Mm. So we're trying to figure out some other alternate means of getting customers that lives on Porter Road gas, because that bridge is right at the very beginning of it. So we'll work hard. We try to we're going to do our very best to make sure that they have gas for heat. And since we just got a little bit of time left, I'd like to say wish everybody in Round County a very Merry Christmas. Leanne, you've been a great host all year. We really appreciate our involvement with being able to be here on the radio and express our what we've done throughout the month. And so thank you very much, and we wish you a Merry Christmas and wish your family a Merry Christmas.
Well, thank you so much, and Merry Christmas to you too. Thanks for tuning in to Open Mic. Our show is produced by Greg Jenkins, and our theme music is Turtle in the Creek, composed by Galen Green and performed by by the Wooks. Produced by Morehead State Public Radio with the generous support of listeners just like you. We'll see you next Friday.